also a few verses that I will add on later. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm sure all of us have known what it's like to be thirsty. On a hot summer day, we might even say something like, oh, I'm dying for something to drink. But few of us can imagine what it's like to go for a prolonged period without anything to drink. We take for granted we're always going to have plenty of clean, safe drinking water. But it's not that way everywhere in our world, even in parts of our own country. Jesus knew the welcome refreshment of clean, cool water. When he stopped that day at Jacob's well, he was tired, hungry, thirsty. His disciples had gone into the nearby village to buy some food about a half mile from Jacob's well, which is still there today. But that's when Jesus met the woman at the well. She had brought her pitcher with her to get some water, and he asked her for a drink. Jesus never missed an opportunity to share kindness and the message of salvation. And neither should we miss an opportunity. That scene there at Jacob's well may not seem unusual to us, but it was strange that Jesus and his disciples were even passing through the province of Samaria, because there had been bitter feelings for centuries between the Jews and Samaritans. The Jews felt that they were a pure race and had a pure religion. Ordinarily, they would have nothing to do with these mixed-race Samaritans. In fact, as I mentioned before, when Jews traveled from Judea north to Galilee or the other way, they would often travel way around an extra couple of days through modern-day Jordan in order to avoid going through Samaria. But Jesus purposely traveled through Samaria in order to make clear that he was the Savior for all people. His mission and our mission is to seek and to save the lost, wherever they are and whoever they are. This scene is unusual for another reason. That woman came from a long way outside of her village to draw water at noon there in the heat of the day. She was probably a social outcast in her village because of her shady reputation. No self-respecting rabbi would have stopped to talk to a Samaritan woman, especially one with such a notorious reputation. Why would Jesus go out of his way to minister to such a person? It's the same reason that Jesus reaches out with kindness and forgiveness to you and to me. Not because we're so good and righteous or because we're deserving of his mercy, but because he is a compassionate Savior who cares deeply about each one of us. No matter what kind of reputation we might have had at some point in the past, or what hidden sins we might be struggling with right now. Yes, Jesus is concerned for every dry and thirsty spirit, every hurting person, every lost or wayward soul. Yes, Jesus came into the world for the very purpose of bringing all people into a right relationship with the Heavenly Father. Jesus shattered the barrier of sin which separates us from God through the reconciliation that he accomplished on that cross. So we now have access to God's grace anytime. We can call on the Lord always to receive his mercy for every sin and his help for every situation that we face. Jesus also broke down barriers which separate people from each other. Barriers of hatred, prejudice, discrimination between classes, races, and groups of people. The Bible makes clear that there is to be no discrimination or preferential treatment, especially in God's family, based on wealth or social standing or race or gender. All people are equally loved by God, and that includes us. When Jesus offered that woman at the well living water, she didn't understand at first what he's talking about. But when Jesus talked about something that could heal her deepest hurts, something that could satisfy the deepest thirst in her life, then some of that hard protective shell around her began to melt away. So she asked Jesus for some of his living water because her spiritual well had run dry and her life had become empty. Like many people we know around us whose spiritual wells have run dry and whose hearts and lives have become empty and full of despair. Maybe there are even times when we've been there. Those people around us need to hear from us about the living water of forgiveness and new life that can be found only by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, back there at the well, Jesus went right to the heart of the problem, not in order to shame her, but to help her see her desperate need for spiritual cleansing and renewal. Go call your husband and then come back. Well, imagine the woman must have turned a little pale at that point. I have no husband, she stammered. Is that ever true? Jesus replied. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. Imagine she was beginning to panic at that point. How could a stranger know the depths of her sin and shame unless he might possibly be the promised Messiah? Similarly, before you or I or anyone else can fully appreciate and receive the refreshment and renewal that our Lord offers through the living water of his word and sacraments, we must be willing to face up to and deal with any hidden sins or moral failings which might be harming our Christian faith and witness, or might be clouding our relationship with God. For you see, Jesus understands our humanness. He became fully human as we are, except he never gave in to temptation and sin. On that cross, Jesus was literally dying for a drink as he endured not only intense human thirst and pain, but also the crushing burden of the sin and guilt of all humanity, including yours and mine. He endured the cross and the grave so that he could share with us mercy instead of justice, hope instead of despair, refreshment for our thirsty souls, and renewal for our broken lives. As we are refreshed and renewed by his living water, our Lord points us forward to that blessed day when, as we read before, the Good Shepherd himself will lead us to springs of living water and will wipe away every tear from our eyes. In the meantime, it is our privilege and our responsibility to do what that woman at the well did. Let's listen to the rest of the story, just a few more verses from John chapter 4. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ, the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Yes, she courageously went back into the village and shared with everyone the astounding story of meeting the Messiah and receiving from Jesus God's amazing grace and mercy. As we read, she then invited people to come and meet Jesus for themselves. And after listening to Jesus' words, many of them became believers in him. Our Lord has chosen you and me to be his sources of living water and encouragement and hope for people we know, and maybe some strangers as well. Our mission is to share God's amazing grace, especially with people whose lives are empty or whose souls have run dry. Ours is a vital mission, because he has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead others to his way. He has no voice but our voice to tell others why he died. He has no help but our help to lead them to his side.